I'd like this morning to turn to the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. I'd like to read just one verse, Psalm 119. We'll read verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The 119th Psalm consists of meditations of the psalmist concerning the Word of God, consists of the personal testimony of the psalmist concerning the Word of God, consists of some of his determinations and vows concerning the Word of God, consists of the prayers of the psalmist concerning the Word of God. All of these were made under the stress of difficulties. Notice verse 23. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me. Verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision. That is, they mocked and ridiculed me. Verse 61 says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me. Verse 78, we see that the proud dealt perversely with me without a cause. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. Verse 143, trouble, that is problems, difficulty, distress, hassle, and anguish, pain, torment, and sorrow have taken hold of me. Verse 157 says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Verse 161 says, princes have persecuted me without a cause. So these, from those statements, we get an idea of the conditions under which the psalm was written. We see that the psalmist was dealing with enemies. He was dealing with opposition, hostility, mockery, ridicule, disdain from the enemies of God. He was a victim of fraud and cruelty and falsehood. There were many obstacles to be contended with, many traps, many problems, many difficulties. A lot of distress and pain and torment and sorrow. There was persecution, there was danger, there was instability. And on and on and on we could go. But we see it is under these conditions that our text, Psalm 119, verse 133, is written. And it is under those conditions that we must consider Psalm 119 and verse 133. Again, our text is one of the many prayers of the psalmist that is found throughout this psalm. The contents of a prayer reveal the desire of a heart, reveal the longing of a heart, reveal the burden and the concern of a heart. The contents of a prayer reveal the priorities of the one praying. And we see all of these things in this prayer. So today we want to consider this prayer of the psalmist. And what we read here should be the unceasing and persistent cry of every child of God. I want to speak this morning on an incessant prayer. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, we're going to look mostly at the first part of that prayer. We're going to look some at the second, but mostly we'll concern ourselves with the first part of that prayer. It is a prayer that ought to always be in our heart. It is a prayer that ought to always be upon our lips. We need to ask ourselves, is our heart in a condition to pray such a prayer? Can we see the need of praying such a prayer? Let's look first at the heart of the psalmist. It is revealed in this prayer. We see the heart of the psalmist. First of all, it was a prayer of one who had conviction concerning the Word of God. He said in verse 66 that he believed the Word of God, meaning that he had received it as the Word of God. He had assurance that it was the Word of God. He had absolute confidence that it was the Word of God. He believed that the Word of God was settled in heaven. We see that from the statement he made in verse 89, which simply means he believed that it was certain. He believed that it was indisputable. He also believed that this Word of God was truth. He states that in verse 160. Meaning that it is worthy of all confidence. It is worthy to be depended upon in everything. And that everything contrary to it is wrong. He uses various titles given in the first stanza and then repeated throughout the psalm. He uses 10 of them. And those 10 titles also speak of how the psalmist viewed the Word of God. He viewed it as God's direction. He viewed it as God's instruction. He viewed it as God's witness of himself. He viewed it as God's pattern, as God's order, as God's method of living, as God's rule to regulate behavior and thought, as God's written rule of conduct, as God's authoritative order and God's verdict. Here is a man who had conviction concerning the Word of God. I believe he looked at the Word of God, and he did not have what you and I have today, but he looked at the Word of God as the answer. He looked at it as the solution and the remedy for everything that is wrong. And oh, how true that is. He saw the Bible as the guide through the maze of life. And it was with this conviction that he prayed, "Order my steps in thy word." Also, we see that this is the prayer of one who had been personally affected by the Word of God. As you read through the psalm, you see that he often declares his love for the Word of God. He often declares that he delighted in God's Word. He rejoiced in God's Word. In verse 54, he says it was his song. He also states that it was more important to him than gold and silver in verse 72. So This is the prayer of one whose heart has been affected by the Word of God. We need to stop and ask ourselves, to what extent is our heart affected by the Word of God? We can answer that question by merely looking at our lives, the lives that we live. Thirdly, it was the prayer of one who had a longing for the Word of God. Throughout the psalm, you see him praying concerning the Word of God. He was an individual who longed to learn the Word of God. He longed to see clearly the meaning of the Word of God. He longed for the Word of God to fill his life with vigor. That's why he prayed, "Quicken me according to thy word." He longed to manifest the Word of God in his life. He longed to be drawn to the Word of God. He longed to obey the Word of God. And it was with this longing in his heart that he prayed, "Order my steps in thy word." Is also the prayer of one who is very, very aware of his own nature and his own bent. The words of our text are in the imperative mood, which simply equals a command. When he says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me," he was issuing a command to God, which is indicative of a sense of urgency, which tells me that he prayed these words with great passion. He prayed these words with much earnestness. Now again, the prayer is twofold. "Order my steps in thy word." Here is a man who is very much aware that if he was left to himself, left to his own ways, left to his own reason, left to his own desires, and left to his own conclusions, he would go the wrong way. He knew that. So he earnestly and he passionately prayed, "Lord, order my steps in thy word. Because, Lord, if you don't do that, I am going to go the wrong way. I'm going to take the wrong step." We need to realize that about ourselves. We see also the second part of the prayer. "Let not any iniquity have dominion over me." He was fully aware that if he were left to himself, left to his own ways, left to his own reason, left to his own pursuits, left to his own desires, left to his own conclusions, that sin would overpower him and take control of his life. So he prayed, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." In other words, "Lord, if you do not order my steps, I will go the wrong way, and iniquity will have dominion over my life." This was a prayer of one who really was fearful of self. He was afraid of himself. We need to be afraid of ourselves because of that sinful nature that dwells within us. Fifthly, it was the prayer of one who was very fearful of sin. Note that he does not pray concerning a particular sin. He simply says, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That tells me that here is a man who sees the seriousness and the awfulness of all sin. No matter what it is, he says, any iniquity. He knew that any sin was an infraction and a violation of the law of God, and therefore a very serious matter. Don't ever say in regards to sin, well, it's a small thing. No such thing in regards to sin. Because we are talking about an infraction and a violation of the very law of God. Sin is a criminal act, as we've seen many times before. Sin is, any sin, is an act of rebellion. Any sin is an uprising against God. It is a reaction against God. It is a crime against the authority of God. It is a crime against His goodness. It is a crime against His love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His wisdom, His holiness. It is a crime against God. Any sin, no matter what it is, no matter what man's opinion of it might be, he says, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You see, this is the prayer of one who knew that all sin was repulsive, that all sin was filthy, that all sin was vile, and that all sin was offensive to God Himself. And he feared sin, because he saw that no matter what the sin, all sin has an enslaving and controlling power. All sin has a blinding and crippling and decimating and stripping power. And the psalmist knew this. And he knew that any sin brings damage. There is damage in every sin. He knew that any sin could bring ruin. He knew that in any sin there was loss. And he knew that any sin was against his well-being. So he prayed, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He was a man who realized the possibility that any sin could become a dominating factor in his life. And he was fearful of that. So he prayed out of a sense of urgency. He prayed with great passion. He prayed with great intensity. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Sixthly, this is the prayer of one who no doubt was very conscious of the danger that was all around him, the danger that was within him. He realized that the path that he was to walk was a very narrow path. And he knew that if left to himself, he would stray from that path and become a slave to sin. So he prayed. Also, it's the prayer of one who realized that he was not an authority to himself. He was one who did not aspire to be his own master. We live in a time, of course, when our society and our culture is engulfed with moral relativism, a time in which man has and continues to reject the authority of God, a time in which man seeks to be his own authority, his own standard. What we have in our text is a man who realized there was something greater than self. There was something greater than self-gratification and self-service. There was something greater than self-will and self-seeking and self-sufficiency. We also see that this is the prayer of a man who had desires for the Lord. As you read Psalm 119 and verse 133, it's very obvious that here is a man who desired to be faithful to God. Here is a man who desired to be true to God. Here is a man who desired for every single aspect of his life to be aligned with God. Here is a man who wanted to honor God. Here is a man who wanted to glorify God. Here is a man who wanted to serve God in every area of his life. Here is a man who simply wants to stay the course. Here is a man who desired that his heart be right with God and that he be in fellowship with the Lord. But also it was the prayer of a man who realized that he needed the help of the Lord. He said, Lord, order my steps in thy word. In other words, Lord, if you don't, I'm going to go the wrong way. Lord, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What he is saying is, Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, I need your help. And oh, every single day, we ought to find ourselves crying, help, Lord. Lord, help me. Help me. When a thought crosses our mind that shouldn't, we need to pray, Lord, help me. When we begin to go the wrong way, we need to pray, Lord, help me. We need to be constantly realizing that we are in desperate need of the help of the Lord. This world is filled with pitfalls. This world is very exhausting. You don't have to be out in the world very long to find out this world will drain you spiritually. We need to be constantly praying and realizing that we need the help of the Lord. Because if God doesn't help us, it's not a question of will we go the wrong way. We will go the wrong way. And it's not a question of will sin have dominion over me? It will. So we need to be praying, Lord, help me. Let's look at the prayer itself. We see the heart of the psalmist. First of all, it is a prayer about the minute details of life. Order my steps. A step is a small detail concerning our walk. You put a lot of steps together, and you are somewhere. But one step is a very minute detail in our lives. All through the Bible, The word walk is used as an image to picture our ways, our actions, our life. But a step is a small detail. You put enough of them together, and steps result in our ways. Steps result in our habitual actions. Steps make up our lives. My steps, that would be inclusive of my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my words, and my acts. So when the psalmist said, my steps, see, we have this tendency to want to look at the big picture. We'd be much better off to look at the minute details that will eventually make up the big picture. Wherever you are right now, whether it be a good place or a bad place, spiritually, you got there by a series of steps. I've got news for you. It just didn't happen one day that you were dropped down in the midst of low spirituality. No, you took a lot of steps to get there. And that's true if you're in a good spiritual state also. So steps are the minute details that make up and form the big picture. We have a tendency to overlook the small things. But we had better wake up and realize that it's those small things, day after day after day, that leads us to where we are. So he's praying about minute details, which teaches us that no action is unimportant. No action is unimportant. Every step we take, you may look at it as one step. Well, one step will lead to two, and then three, and then four. And pretty soon, unconsciously, you are taking many, 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 many steps. And you wind up wherever you are. But one step, you either gain spiritually by one step, or you lose spiritually. And we need to look at our steps in that way. One step. Yes, but it's one step either in the right direction or one step in the wrong direction. And either way, one step will probably lead to two steps and three and four and five. And pretty soon you're in a place and you think, how did I get here? By ignoring your steps. So he's praying concerning minute details. We need to pray concerning the minute details of our life. Notice it is a prayer for personal order. Order, and it's personal. My steps in thy word. Again, he feels an urgency. And he pleads with great passion and intensity. When he says, order my steps in thy word, He is saying, Lord, take all the minute details of my life and embed them in thy word. Embed them in thy word. He is praying, Lord, arrange all the minute details. Train me in all the minute details. Brace all the minute details. Brace my steps in thy word. Keep in mind, he's a man who has conviction concerning the word of God. He says, order my steps in thy word. That is, Lord, anchor them in thy word. Fasten them in thy word. We're talking about minute details. We wouldn't have many of the temptations that we have if our steps didn't take us to the place of temptation. A lot of people wouldn't have the problems they have were it not for the steps that took them there. And then we get it all backwards. We get ourselves in a mess, and then we start praying that God would do something about the mess. That's incorrect praying. You need to pray that God would do something about your steps that got you where you are. And repent. That's another message. Order my steps in thy word. That is, Lord, align my steps. Align all the minute details in thy word. Cause each one of my steps to be in submission to thy word. He is praying. When he says, order my steps, he is praying that his priorities would be right. He desires that even in the most minute details, that his priorities be right. Order. Things are never in order when anything is before the first. If what it should be first is not first, there is no order. Jesus stated the proper order in life. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. That states proper order. But Jesus stated it in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Proper order is putting the soul ahead of the body. Even in the most minute details of life. It is putting eternal treasures ahead of all earthly gain. Proper order is putting the glory of God ahead of self. It is putting the will of God ahead of our own ways. So he is praying here that God would be the focal point, the priority, and the purpose of his life. And we hear the urgency of his prayer. We can feel the intensity as he prays, order my steps in thy word. That is, Lord, make the most minute details of my life to be consistent with thy word. He's praying for order. Because the psalmist knew that when order is disrupted, there's chaos. When order is disrupted, there is a mess. And the psalmist realized that if left to himself, he'd get out of order. And he'd end up in a chaotic mess. We need to realize that, and we need to be praying every day, Lord, order my steps. Order my steps in thy word. Psalmist realized that he must walk a narrow path. One misstep. You say, well, it's only one step. But in that step, if you fall into a trap, that's pretty serious. One misstep can bring chaos. Well, it's just one little thing, and God understands. Don't be so foolish. One misstep. Remember the law there in Numbers? If a man was just walking in the field and tripped over a bone, he was defiled. One misstep. One misstep can have disastrous results. Therefore, we ought to pray, order my steps in thy word. This is a prayer of one who wanted his life to be governed by God. He's not concerned about his own will, his own ways, his own plans. He simply says, Lord, order my steps in thy word. You can make plans, but you had better, in all your plans, you had better say, Lord, order my steps in thy word. And then if your plan falls apart, don't get upset. Praise God. He desired for the most minute details of his life to be engulfed in God's word. Notice he does not pray, order my steps by thy word, but order thy steps in thy word. Now, certainly, the psalmist realized and recognized that God's government is universal. There is no part of the universe, there is no human being, there is nothing that is beyond the authority and the power of God. The psalmist knew that. And he was willing to submit to that. He wanted every detail of his life. He wanted to submit every detail of his life to the government of God. When he prayed, order my steps in thy word, this is the prayer of a man who is giving himself away to God. In every little detail, he is perfectly satisfied with God governing every single aspect of his life. Are we? Are we satisfied with God governing every single aspect of our life? He realized that God had absolute right over every single detail of his life. Do we? Do we realize that God has absolute right? Why? Because he's God. He has absolute right over every detail of our life. He has absolute right of possession of all that you are and all that you have. He has the right to command you to do whatever he pleases. He has the right to use you however he pleases, whenever he pleases,
wherever he pleases. He has the right to withhold from you anything. He has the right to expect deep, unselfish, entire devotion. He has the right to expect and demand everything. He has that right. We need to realize the rights of God. I get so tired of people talking about the rights. God has all right. He has the right to be first in all things. He has the right to expect to be first in all things. He has the right to expect us to be surrendered without any reservation whatsoever. He has the right to expect us to desire Him and pursue Him in every detail of our lives. He has the right to expect us to center every detail of our lives around Him. God has absolute right and claim upon every detail of our lives. The question is, do we realize that? Do we acknowledge that? Do we submit to that? This is the prayer of one who desired all the minute details of his life to be governed by God in all things, in all places, in all areas of his life. He is praying, Lord, make me to do the right thing. We're all put in circumstances and situations, and we're always required to do the right thing. Regardless of what everybody else is doing, you and I are required to do the right thing. It may be very difficult, but this is what he's praying. He's praying, Lord, I need you to cause me to do the right thing. Order my steps in thy word. He is praying, Lord, if I take one step in the wrong direction, intervene, stop me, turn me around, get me back in thy word. Again, if we were more aware of our little steps, we could save ourselves a lot of problems. It's as if he's praying, Lord, I'm afraid to take a single step without your order. You say, well, I don't want to live my life that way. Well, you ought to. It ought to terrify us to take one step without God's order to do so. Order my steps in thy word. In all of our responsibilities, Lord, order my steps in thy word. In all the decisions that we are faced with, Lord, order my steps in thy word. Every time a so-called opportunity comes our way, we need to pray, Lord, I need you to order my steps in thy word. In all of our motives, in all of our goals, Lord, order my steps in thy word. Whatever circumstance and whatever situation we find ourselves in, Lord, order my steps in thy word. whatever changes come our way, whether they be changes we like or whether they be changes we dislike. Lord, order my steps in thy word. Whatever joys come our way, Lord, in this time of joy, order my steps in thy word. When sorrow and heartbreak comes into our lives, Lord, order my steps in thy word. When we find ourselves in affliction, when we find ourselves in adversity, we need to be praying, Lord, order my steps in thy word. When we find ourselves in temptation, we need to pray, Lord, order my steps in thy word. When we find ourselves faced with a battle, Lord, order my steps in thy word. We'd find there's battles that you and I wouldn't even have to fight if we just pray, Lord, you order my steps in thy word. This ought to always be our prayer. This ought to always be our plea. You see, we live in bodies of flesh and blood. These human bodies are weak. They get tired. And dwelling within us is the force of sin. It not only dwells within us, but it's all around us. We find it everywhere we go. And on top of all of that, we are engaged in a continual spiritual warfare that is fought in enemy territory. And we live in a land of spiritual destitution. And on top of all of that, there are difficulties, there are trials, and on top of all of that, as children of God, we have a responsibility to maintain our profession of faith in Christ without wavering, without compromise. So, oh, how we need to be praying. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. For the sake of our own life, for the sake of others, other lives, we need to be praying this prayer. For the sake of our homes. Do you realize how many homes have been destroyed because of inattention to steps? How many marriages have been destroyed? Oh, we need to pray. For the sake of our homes, order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. For the sake of our churches, each and every member of this church ought to pray every single day and every time we walk into this building, Lord, order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Let not any iniquity get a hold of me. For the sake of our churches, for the sake of future generations, for the sake of truth, for the honor and glory of God, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Is that our prayer? Do we find ourselves praying, Lord, help me. Lord, direct me. Lord, guide me. Lord, stop me. Lord, get me going. Whatever it is, we need to be praying. Do we see the need? Do we see the need of such a prayer? Do we see the need of constantly praying? Lord, I need you to order my steps. in thy word. In thy word. In a world where everyone, or not everyone, but the vast majority, is trying to avoid God's word at all cost, we need to be praying, Lord, order my steps in thy word. And if our steps are ordered in God's word, you won't have to try to be different. You will be different. You will be different. You will be vastly different. Because you'll be walking in a different direction than the world is walking. All that we might see, the need of praying, Psalm 119, 133. That we might live in Psalm 119, 133. What a good place to live. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand, Brother Larry, lead us in song.